Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Peter Welch, tell me about your service on the Subcommittee on National Security, Homeland Defense, and Foreign Operations. I'm particularly interested, of course, in the revelations that the NSA was spying on people, basically.
I serve on that subcommittee. And I am incredibly concerned, as I think most Americans are, about the overreach of NSA. And frankly, my view, it's led to significant damage to the U.S. reputation with our allies.
Certainly with the Germans.
It really, really is amazing. Think about it, that our closest ally, somebody that we really need to be helpful to us, we're listening in on the phone calls of Chancellor Merkel. And, you know, that's an indication of a lack of judgment and a lack of restraint in NSA. It's like they have the technology so they can do it, and they do it without any regard to the consequence of what happens if we get caught. And really, what are they finding out? You know, these are allies. I mean, are they listening to find out what our grocery list is? I mean, I'm being a little trivial about this, but the bottom line is with allies, you've got to have some real respect in order to have a trusting relationship.
Well, Peter, is it possible, I've been thinking about this lately, that Angela Merkel, of course, was an East German. You know what the history of that country was in terms of their allegiance to the Soviets. Maybe our people are nervous that she's making common cause with somebody we know she talks to a lot, Putin.
You know, whatever the justification is, the risk of damage to our relationship with her,
yeah, wasn't worth it.
Was not worth it. And it just, again, it's what I was saying earlier, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. It's like with the NSA's ability to sweep up all of our emails, all of our text, all of our phone calls. And should they do that? Isn't there a real invasion of privacy and a deterioration of the trust that's required between the citizen and the state when the state goes so overbroad that it's sweeping up everything that we communicate to one another?
Well,
I think that's the case. I think there's a really important question here about maintaining citizen trust in the government that is there to serve them. And people will tolerate intrusions into privacy, but it's got to follow the time-honored constitutional protections and process that's been in place and has served our country very well. And NSA just went overboard.
So is the genie out of the bottle?
Well, we're pushing back.
Can you ever put the genie back in the bottle?
Well, I do. I think that you've got to make certain that the rule of law applies, and that's why the courts play a significant role, and Congress has to play a significant role. By the way, I also think there's just an effectiveness issue. You know, just think about it. If NSA is getting literally every email, text, and phone call indiscriminately and then trying to search for search words, what they're basically doing is creating mountains and mountains and mountains of haystacks where they can, in each one, try to search for a needle. Good intelligence starts with a rational assessment of where's the likely risk so that you focus your resources. Our resources, vast as they are in the intelligence budget, are not unlimited. And if you have people just chasing every idea and every conversation without the discipline of focus, my view, you spend too much money and you get ineffective results.
Now, Peter, is this a partisan debate? Are people lining up either pro or con NSA, or does everybody have some reservations here?
There's a lot of bipartisan concern on that. In fact, one of the leaders in the House is Jim Sensenbrenner, a member from Wisconsin, and he was involved in writing the first law. And
he's a Republican, right?
He's a Republican,
yeah.
And he's a respected Republican and a respected defender of the Constitution. And he was involved in writing the law. And then when the revelations came out about NSA just getting all this information on everybody, everywhere, all of the time, he was outraged. He said there was nothing in the law that he helped write, played a major role in writing, that in his view gave the NSA that authority to do that. So he is pushing hard to restrain that and to tighten it up. So there is bipartisan concern about the NSA overreach.
So when we look at the results of what has come out since these great revelations, what does your mail look like?
People are upset about it. People expect that their rights of privacy, their Fourth Amendment rights, will be honored. And there's an immense amount of concern that the government's gone too far with this NSA spying. So I think that Vermonters feel that. I know Senator Leahy and Senator Sanders are hearing that from Vermonters. And we want to get back to the right balance.
Your colleague Bernie Sanders keeps coming up as a potential presidential candidate. And at one point, he even said, if nobody else does it, maybe I'll do it. What do you think?
Well, all signs are that Bernie's, you know, on the edge of a decision. He's going to Iowa. He's been in New Hampshire. So he said himself that he's looking at it, and he'll make his decision and let us know. What Bernie obviously offers is a person with a long and consistent history of fierce advocacy for the economic aspirations of lower-income and middle-class people.
No question.
And he's got that voice. And you know, people really feel that the government's not doing the job for them. It's doing the job for the fat cats, and that's the message Bernie gives. So it'll be very interesting to see what his decision is and see how he does if he decides to plunge in.
Well, now, we lived through this with Ralph Nader. And
he's
the big,
not a Ralph. You know, that's not fair in my view to Bernie. He's not a Ralph.
No. I didn't mean to be unfair.
Yeah.
I just meant if he runs, and he runs as a third-party candidate, clearly he will get some of the votes that might ordinarily go to, let's say, a Hillary Clinton.
Well, that's a big decision he has to make, because I don't think he'll do that, because if he has the potential of being a spoiler, I don't think Bernie won't have anything to do with that. That's my view. But that I think would take away if you get a Ralph Nader. That's the Ralph Nader situation. I mean, Ralph Nader he can take credit each night that he goes to bed for his accomplishment in electing George Bush, which led to the Iraq War. I think Ralph Nader really.
He and I duked it out on that very issue. Anybody's welcome to come to WAMC.org and hear it. And we did it years ago. Subsequently, I come to learn that he's called me the screamer. But why is it different for Bernie than Ralph Nader?
Well, the question for Bernie is, would he run as an independent or third party, or would he run in the Democratic primaries? And
right.
I don't have the answer to that, but I think it really would be, that's a very significant decision.
Because there are those
have to make.
Because, Peter Welch, there are those people who think that the Clintons are representative of the upper middle class and those people who have the most, as opposed to the Bernie position.
Well, you know, the Democrats like the Clintons, and they're looking good. You know, President Clinton had, what are people complaining about, the peace or the prosperity? I mean, he had a good, when you look back at his job as president, we had 20 million jobs created. We stayed out of Iraq, and, you know, mm-hmm. We had peace as well as that prosperity. And then Hillary Clinton has just look at her in the polls. She's got a lot of popularity. But obviously, even if you're Hillary Clinton, you just don't have a nomination handed to you. So this will be a very interesting debate and discussion. And none of us know what Hillary's going to do. But I can tell you this. She's got a lot of solid support in the Democratic Party and gratitude for the service that she's provided over the years.
Our guest has been Peter Welch, a congressman from at-large, the only one in Vermont in office since 2007. Peter, always a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking all this time with us.
Thank you. Thanks.